The Gospel of Matthew is unique among the four Gospels that got canonized because it's the only one that uses the word church. And that's takeoff, as it were, on the Aramaic word kahal. The Greek word ekklesia, or church, means the same thing as kahal, those people who've been called out. And it is also interesting in the Gospel of Matthew, where you have more discussion of authority, or being the boss in the church, than you have in any of the other four Gospels. You remember last Sunday, we had this passage about Jesus asking Peter who he thought he was, and Peter said, "You're the Messiah." And then, "You're the rock. On this rock I'll find my church. I'll give you the key to bind and loose," which again, the same was given to the whole church in the later passage in the Gospel of Matthew. And right after this, you have this, in a sense, terrifying conversation between Peter and Jesus, because Peter simply wanted to walk away from the very confession that he'd made, or better put, he didn't really understand the confession that he had made. He said, "You're the Messiah." Okay, what's the Messiah? Messiah is simply king. It's the Hebrew word which we find in Greek as Christ. Huh? You are the king. Okay. So you're the king. Okay, good. And then Jesus immediately starts talking about something very unkingly. That you're going to be persecuted and killed. And that's the source of Peter's outrage. And that's not too strong a way of putting it, because the Greek is really ferocious here. Peter rebukes Jesus. "You're not going to do that. It's not going to happen." And so Peter is in turn rebuked by Jesus. Where in the verses just prior to this, Peter was the rock. Now, Petra, that kind of corny pun on Peter and the Greek word for rock. Where we have now the rock becoming a stumbling block. And Matthew did this all very consciously. Later on in the Gospel of Matthew, had those famous passages about call no one father because you have only one father. Call no one teacher because you have only one teacher. And the scholars point out that probably was done because even around the year 75, when this was written, the people who had taken leadership positions in the church had started throwing their weight around. They started being boss in the normal way that bosses are boss. And it is this that disturbs Jesus, that causes this terrible upset. And as I said last week, probably the reason, because this was a couple hundred years before the church became the official religion of the empire, things got worse, frankly. Why? Because the church took on the imperial, all kinds of imperial forms. Huh? The bosshood of the empire. So what's the issue? Ultimately, the issue is that of power. What does power mean? How do we understand power? That's usually a narcotic element in our human life. We love power. I love power. I love to be able to have people do what I tell them to do. Make sure they stay in line and throughout what I had intended for them. And of course, the church is not innocent of that tendency. Just as none of us individually are innocent of that tendency. And that's why we get all this business about picking up your cross. What does picking up your cross mean in this context? Or Paul talking to the Romans, "Be not conformed to the world." The notion of power as it's exercised and understood in the world. To die to that impulse to be in charge of people and the world. That's what's at stake here. Because and the reason for that is very simple. Because once you have that kind of power, and once you exercise that kind of power, the possibility of real human interrelationship is simply denied. It dissipates. You can keep people in line. We do all the time by fear, which is, of course, the result of the very exercise of power that we're talking about here. But as we know, it is fear above all that debilitates us as human beings, that incapacitates us from really dealing with each other as equals. So all of this is important because we need to have some way of judging the way we behave in the church and the way the leaders in the church behave in the church as well. In that wonderful commentary that I read from last Sunday, Stanley Hauerwas said it is not the job of Peter to maintain institutional integrity. That's not what the Petrine office, which the present Pope regularly refers to, is about. That's God's job to maintain institutional integrity, to keep people together. What, therefore, is the form of leadership that we're talking about here? Again, I should go back to not just Hauerwas, but everybody who's thought and written on this stuff. To proclaim, to witness to the mercy and the generosity and the courage and the honesty of Jesus. That's what it's about. To witness. And as I quoted time and time again, that wonderful line from Cardinal Stuart, the former Archbishop of Paris, to be witness is not engaged, I mean to gauge in propaganda, make lots of noise. Rather, as Stuart says in a stunningly clear way, it means to live in such a way that one's life makes no sense if God did not exist. That's the kind of power we're talking about here. That's the kind of leadership that Jesus is talking about. The readiness to precisely deny in oneself this impulse to be in charge in that brutish way.